Blessed Wednesday, everyone. Welcome po sa ating midweek study on the Book of Exodus. Matagal-tagal din tayo hindi nagsama-sama because of the break that we did. But now that we are going back to our study, we find ourselves in a very odd section. Para siyang out of place eh. Pero it's a beautiful section. Chapter 30, verse 11 to 16. Pero bago tayo magsimula, let me remind all of us that the book of Exodus is a book wherein we find God revealing more of Himself to His people. Diba nung niligtas ng Panginoong Diyos ang kanyang bayang hinirang from Egypt, how did He do that? First of all, ang ginawa niya is that He heard the cries of His people, showing them that He is a faithful God who never forgets His promises to His people. Then when He saved them from Egypt, He sent plagues. That is to show us that Yahweh was flexing, so to speak, His muscles to show that He is the only true God. Compared to the Egyptian deities, walang ibang Diyos kundi siya. The rest are false gods. Now, nung nasa Mount Sinai na sila, God has given the Mosaic Law. And what is that for? That is to show that God wanted to see His people live in a specific manner. Living in a specific, in accordance to a specific mandate. Yung Mosaic Law po was the expression of their obedience to God as God's people. Nung chapter 25, we heard of the instructions about the tabernacle. And we said, because God wanted to dwell with His people. And God giving instructions with regards to the tabernacle is showing us that God wants them to have a proper expression of how they worship God. Yung Mosaic Law was the expression of their obedience to God. The tabernacle was the expression of their worship to God. Nung last tayo magkasama, we discuss about many things about the tabernacle. Iba't ibang furniture, iba't ibang bahagi ng tent of meeting na yon, ano ang sukat, anong yari, anong kulay, and ano yung kaibahan ng mga furniture sa loob ng holy place, anong kaibahan doon sa most holy place, anong kaibahan ng mga furniture sa loob ng tent, at ano ang compared doon sa mga nasa labas ng temple court, right? We also discuss about the priest, about their garments, di ba? Napaka-detailed nung kasuotan din nila. And showing us that God is very particular with His priest representing His people to Him. We also saw na inordain or kinonsecrate ni Moses ang mga kapariang ito unto the ministry para sa templo. Right? So, as we now go to chapter 30, verse 11, again, there seems to be a very odd transition from the things of the tabernacle to a census. Basahin natin. The Lord said to Moses, "When you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerah, half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old and upward shall give the Lord's offering. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel, when you give the Lord's offering to make atonement for your lives. You shall take the atonement money from the people of Israel, and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord so as to make atonement for your lives. Pause tayo sandali. We are talking about a census here. Pero ano ang repeated word? Ano ang repeated phrase? Ano ang repeated idea na narinig natin? Atonement, atonement, right? So, this is not just a census, right? Ito'y mas malalim pa sa census. Ulitin ko, merong dalawang salita rito na kailangan natin pagturo ng pansin. Yung ransom at yung redeem. To simply put, yung ransom po is a payment. It's a sum of money or some other type of payment that is used to redeem a specific thing. Yung noun form po na nitong salitang ito differ more than the verb forms. But the ransom here is used to pay something in exchange of something. Pero, kaya ako minimension ito, kasi nasa Mount Sinai na sila. They already have been redeemed. Diba? They already have been rescued by God. Why are they being asked to pay a ransom for their souls now? Again, para hindi tayo malito, this section is pointing us actually to the work of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the work of Christ. It is not to be taken in any way at all that somehow show that we participate in our freedom from sin and the bondage to the devil. Pero ito'y nagpapakita ng exceptional na pagkilos ng Diyos, ni Kristo, on our behalf. The payment here is only a type, a shadow of the work of Jesus Christ. Hindi natin pwede siyang i-equate sa ginawa natin. Sabihin nila, ako nagbayad eh. No, it's a type. It's a picture. It's a foreshadowing of what Christ will do. Sabi sa Mark 10, verse 44, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Ito yung picture ng humanity, mga kapatid. We are bound by sin, separated from the holy God who created him. And God cannot violate his own holiness. A ransom price needed to be paid. Sabi ng ilan, bakit hindi na lang magpatawad na lang? Ba't kailangan may magbayad pa? Because God cannot violate his own character, that he is holy, he is just. Isipin niyo, mga kapatid. If God would say, okay, quits na, it would highlight his mercy, of course, grace, and love, but it would violate his being just, his being righteous, his being holy. Think of what Christ did for us. When Jesus said that he came to give his life a ransom for many, it means just that. He gave his life to redeem those who would believe in him. As God's holiness is what could not be violated, the price of our redemption is an infinite one. Kasi we have offended an infinite being, an eternal being. And since God is the only one who is infinite, then only God, the infinite God-man, could make the payment. Yung humanity ni Kristo is the payment. But the deity, the divinity of Christ, yung pagiging Diyos ni Kristo, ang nagselyo. It seals the deal. The payment is made for us by Him, It is received by Him on behalf of the Father. Ito yung ating pag-aaralan ngayon. This is the theme of today's section. And I pray that we you would be ready to be ministered to by God's Word. Here in the midst of the tabernacle prescription, nakita natin may call for a census. Pero yung call for a census, meron ding warning, may stipulation din concerning that. Ngayon, ang obvious na tanong is, why a census in particular, why having warnings and ransom payments? At bakit may threat ng plague? Ano bang klaseng census to? Is it just a headcount? In truth, there has never been a census in any age or any land that was purely for the sake of information. Lots of motivations might be behind such an act. Sabi ni Douglas Stewart, in the ancient world, as far as we know, a census was taken for one of only two purposes, to prepare for war or to impose some sort of taxation. In ancient Israel, there was technically only one purpose, to prepare for war. Because the Israelites had no right to go to war except for the taking and holding of the promised land by holy war, as called explicitly by Yahweh, through a prophet, and because they had no right to impose taxes beyond the contribution system revealed in the law by God Himself. The taking of a census would constitute, in most cases, an act of direct covenant disobedience. So, this helps us a bit. Ang census pala is to number certain people in preparation for war. And right enough. Kasi ang bayang Israel will be going to the promised land. And we know that the promised land is not empty. They will take a hold of the promised land. And kumbaga, this is God's way of recruiting. Or parang, this is God's way of instituting His military force for the taking of the holy place, the promised land. If the primary motivation for taking a census was to assess potential military might and to impose taxes, we see why the Lord added warnings and a note of holy fear to this proceeding. Bakit? It's a great deal for people to understand that they are the ones who are powerful. May danger doon na misinterpret nila na sila yung magaling, na sila yung malakas. Right? Rather than showcase that God is the one who is the owner of the army. It's almost as if God was saying, you can take this census, but you cannot do it independent of me or my sovereign rule. It must not become an occasion for your own manipulation for wealth or power. Sabi ni Philip Ryken, a census carries with it the response, the possibility of pride. Who has the right to take inventory? Sabi ni Ryken, only the person who owns whatever is being counted. This means that only God could call for a count. Whenever the Israelites took a census, they were in serious danger of forgetting this. After all, they were the ones doing the counting. Thus, they would be tempted to think that they are the ones who are great, and their great number were a credit to them rather than to God. And although it was not a sin to take a census, it was a sin to rob God of His glory. Want me to show you what happened in the life of David? Sa 2 Samuel 24, God got angry at David for taking a census of Israel. 2 Samuel 24, basahin ko po sa inyo, verse 1. Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and He incited David against them, saying, "Go, number Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army, who was with him, "Go through the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and number the people, that I may know the number of the people." But Joab said to the king, "May the Lord your God add to the people a hundred times as many as they are, while the eyes of the Lord, the king, still see it. But why does my Lord, the king, delight in this thing?" But the king's word prevailed against Joab and the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. They crossed the Jordan and began from Aroer and from the city that is in the middle of the valley toward Gad and on to Jazer. Then they came to Gilead, to Kadesh in the land of the Hittites. They came to Dan, and from Dan they went around to Sidon, and came to the fortress of Tyre, and to all the cities of the Hivites, the Canaanites, and they went out to the Negev of Judah at Beersheba. So, when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months. Imagine, 9 months ang ginugol para mag-create ng census. And 28 days, 9 months and 28 days, and Joab gave the sum of the numbering of the people to the king in Israel. There were 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000. But David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people. And David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Warning na siya kaya ni Joab, di ba? And when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet God, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, 'Thus says the Lord, three things I offer you. Choose one of them, that I may do it to you.'" So God came to David and told him and said to him, "Shall 3 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return for to him who sent me." Then David said to God, "I'm in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent pestilence on Israel from the morning until the appointed time. And there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. He was counting how many men he had. Now, he lost 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel, who was working destruction among the people, "It is enough. Now stay your hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Behold, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's house." And God came that day to David and said to him, "Go up, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite." So David went up at God's word, as the Lord commanded. And when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, "Why has the Lord, my king, come to his servant to buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people. Then Araunah said to David, let my lord, the king, take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering, and the threshing sledges for the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O King Araunah, gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. But the king said to Araunah, no, I will buy it from you. He learned his lesson. I will not offer burnt offering to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offering and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. Nakit natin yun. Yes, I read a very lengthy section, but just to show you, taking a census can be dangerous. It has the potential to stroke the fires of pride. Nangyari kay David, a man after God's own heart. Even while his trusted friend was warning him, it can make a ruler or a people think more highly of themselves than they should. Tingnan natin yung stipulations of the census. Let's go back to Exodus 13 ulit. The Lord built stipulations into the census to serve as a powerful symbolic reminder of the rulership of the Lord God over His people. Sabi rito, the Lord said to Moses, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerah. Half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old and upward shall give the Lord's offering. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel. When you give the Lord's offering to make atonement for your lives, you shall take the atonement money from the people of Israel and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord so as to make atonement for your lives. Ano yung stipulation ng census? All those counted would give a ransom, a payment for his life. Para saan? So that no plague would come among them. Each person counted was to give half a shekel. Napansinin nyo, the rich cannot pay more than half a shekel, and the poor cannot pay less than half a shekel. May magandang prinsipyo dun. This is talking about what Christ did, right? This is telling us that rich or poor, iisa lang ang kaparaanan, iisa lang ang halaga ng kaligtasan. Si Kristo, ang buhay niya, ang halaga ng bawat buhay. Right? The half shekel payment made by each Israelite was like a temple tax, at least until the 6th century BC. The average shekel weighed 11.4 grams. Pero itong text, sabi niya, sanctuary shekel, which is believed to be a smaller fraction of the common shekel. Weights discovered in archaeological finds evidence a shekel weighing 9.3 to 10.5 grams. The sanctuary weight listed here may also refer to a shekel of more standard value in weight than the marketplace shekel. Yung gerah is the smallest of the Israelite measures of weight. It weighed approximately half a gram and was equivalent to 1/20th of a shekel. Everyone alike was to give this half a shekel, rich and poor alike, no more nor less. This was to be atonement money. It was to be given for the service of the tent of meeting. This is most fascinating and also most illuminating. The money given was to be seen as a ransom and atonement. Bakit? Sabi ni Douglas Stewart, a payment through which one symbolically bought his life back from God. He then goes on to argue that the ransom payment recognized two important facts. Ano yun? God owns the lives of his people, and although he would have the right to require his people to lose their lives in battle, he generously gave them back their lives so they could enjoy the abundant life he had for them within his covenant protection. These arguments go in the right direction. However, we view these payments, we must not view them as buying one salvation. Okay, hindi ito yung parang indulhensya. Hindi ito binibili yung ating kaligtasan. This was a symbolic gesture of very real recognition that God owned your life and that the life you had you had because God gave it to you. You could take it, though he normally gave it back. The ransom price simply reminded those counting and those being counted that they had no might nor power as a people other than what God granted them. It was a recognition of his sovereign rule as well as of his gracious gift of life. The fact that all paid the same amount is also important. Kaya sabi ko kanina, a wealthy man's life is not worth more than the poor man's life, or a poor man's life is not worth less. All human beings stand on level ground before the Lord God. Yung stipulation and census therefore safeguards and reminds those who were there who they are, who they belong to. They check any thoughts of arrogance and self-sufficiency, and they stood as a perpetual proclamation that the people, every single one of them, they belong to God. They belong to God and God alone, and they, out of gratitude, are thanking God for that. Again, sa section na ito, we would hear ransom, diba? Kuper, atonement. The book of Exodus is already connecting ransom with atonement. Now, here's the best part here. Moses was implicitly instructed that a census was going to be taken with the words, when you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, no census had been mentioned to this point. But now, it's a known matter. There is a specific time frame involved in the taking of the census. A census is made in order to determine a number. The mention of numbering the people is made 5 times in these few verses. Thus, there is a hidden stress upon this word. Further, the name of Yahweh is mentioned 6 times in this passage. Right? Parang ganito yan. The numbering, for example, yung kapitbahay namin sabi sa akin, nagbilang ako ng pera ko sa banko. Meron akong 2 million pesos. Tapos sabi ko sa kanya, nagbilang din ako ng pera ko sa banko. Meron akong 2,000 pesos. So, yung sinabi ng kapitbahay ko, sinasabi niya na yung 2 million is his. Ako sinasabi ko, yung 2,000... It's mine. This is what is going on here. The Lord is calling for a census of his people because they are his. The fact that he already knows the number is irrelevant. He wants Moses and thus us to know it. He is identifying for all to know that this total number is his, as they are his. He has authority over them and the right to align them in the manner he chooses. The stars are numbered because they belong to the Lord, diba? In fact, he calls them by name because he owns the stars. How much more tayo? Right? The Lord here is exercising his authority and demonstrating his ownership of Israel through the coming census. This is why talagang nagkasala si David nung nagkaroon siya ng census. And it was costly. Diba? It was a costly lesson for him. Moses' numbering of the people at the Lord's command is only a picture of the Lord's numbering of God's people. But there is a logical order to the process before the numbering. First, there was a need of redemption. The people were in Egypt and in bondage. That is man bound by sin. Yung picture na yun. Next, there is the one who can redeem. One who is powerful enough to break the bonds and overthrow the power of the devil who has bound us in sin. Si Cristo yun. This is followed by the act of redemption itself. This was seen by in the slaying of the Passover lamb. Pictured din yan, pointing forward to Christ's death on the cross. After that, the duty of the redeemed was seen in the obedience of following the Lord and His commands. Only after that, then, come the privilege of our redemption, which are found in worshiping and serving Him. So talagang, para lang siyang ad, pero may logical at may order itong parang siningit na section sa narrative about the tabernacle. Ito sabi ni Arthur Pink, God appropriates His elect unto Himself only as a ransomed people. Only when people are redeemed can they then be numbered among the redeemed. This is where we come into this passage. No sooner is the numbering mentioned for Israel than the note of a ransom to be paid is given. This is the same pattern as before at the Passover, where the same words were used. Again, the blood of the Passover is being tied into the silver of this ransom money. In both instances, if the people failed to meet the requirements, simple as it may be, the penalty would be a plague among them. Both the blood and the silver picture the work of Christ. Nung nireject ng Israel si Kristo, He became the plague upon Israel. The same is true with the world at large. In its rejection of Christ, the plagues of Revelation will come upon the world. The pattern follows consistently in Scripture. This is why the Bible says in a seemingly contradictory manner, Isaiah 55:1, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The ransom money only pictures Christ. We are not redeemed with such things as silver. Peter explains this to us in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ is pictured in the silver metal. The blood is the mode of redemption and shows us the character of Christ's work. Its value is the means of payment and shows the very high price of ransom. Mga kapatid, this is staggering. Kasi kung, again, I have shared with you some details, but let me put it this way. Nagkaroon ng census, and we know that that was for God to prepare His an army, because they are going to the promised land and seize it for themselves, because that was given, promised by God to them. But as they are being numbered, there was a warning na wag silang mag-isip that as they are being numbered, their might is from them. Na yung kalakasan nila, yung bilang nila ay galing sa kanila at galing sa kanilang galing. Kaya meron silang warning na may plague. Now, the ransom was to show that there needs to be a payment. There needs to be a payment for every individual numbered or binilang sa army o sa pamilya ng Panginoon. And the mere fact na pareho ang presyo ng mayamat mahirap is telling us that the rich cannot buy for themselves their salvation, and the poor cannot give less than what is required, telling us that isa lang ang kabayaran. At ang hindi magbayad, may plague na o dilubyo na dadalaw sa kanya. This is perfectly showing us Christ. I love it that during the break, huminto tayo sandali, huminto tayo sa incense, the altar of incense. Now we are looking at yung seemingly parang transition or parang ibang direction. But no, it's perfectly in order at saka in logic sa narrative na ito. This is perhaps God's way of showing us that God has made a way for the redemption of many, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And to those who would keep on living without having someone pay for themselves, may plague na ikakaharap niya. Salamat sa Panginoon na itong plague na ito hindi na pupunta sa atin because of what God did for us. Christ is now seated ever before the Father as a memorial for us. Tapos na yung gawain niya. Yung scars niya are proof of our redemption. It is this which has made atonement for us, and it is He by which we are atoned for. No passage of Scripture could be more reassuring than what is presented in these words. Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have the description of the altar of incense before this, description of the bronze laver after this. In between the two is a passage about ransom money. It is ransom money which will be used for things which have been already given to us in detail. The altar of incense pictures Christ's intercessory work for us, which includes our petitions and prayers. The bronze laver pictures Christ's sanctifying work for us, meaning our ongoing spiritual purification as growth. By placing the memorial of our atonement between the two, we are instructed then that it is Christ who redeemed us. Huwag natin kalimutan. Therefore, it is He to whom we pray to. It is He who we thank God for. We live for. It is He who sanctifies us before Him. In other words, it is our redemption and atonement upon which everything else stands and upon which everything else is dependent. And that is a beautiful way to end this. I mean, I could go on, mga kapatid, mahaba pa po yung notes ko, but I just thought of sharing with you my heart as to how this has made an impact on my heart. It may seem illogical, may seem out of place, but it's not. Perfect ang salita ng Diyos. It's pointing us to the primacy, the priority of Christ in our redemption. He is the payment. He is the payment. He too took our plagues so that we can be numbered to be one of His. What a great salvation we have. What a great Savior. Right? With this, let's end. I'll see you next week sa ating pong susunod na pag-aaral. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how humbling it is, Lord, to see You in these 6 verses. Nakakamangha po kung paano ang census may kaakibat na bayad, otherwise there will be a plague, is pointing to Your finished work. Yes, Lord, we can now be numbered as Yours because You paid the penalty of our sins and You took the plague that is for us. Yung kaparusahan dapat po sa amin, pero Kayo po ang tumanggap ng lahat ng ngit-ngit ng Panginoon. Because of that, Lord, we are humbled. Sana, Panginoon, ang mga ganitong klaseng pahayag would lead us to be humble, would lead us, Lord, to be grateful, would lead us to be worshipful. Again, Lord, we were merely scratching the surface. I could go on, Lord. But for now, this is enough. Thank You very much. Sa tapos Yun ang ginawa. Thank You for doing that for me, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for including me in Your family. If there's anyone, Lord, who's watching this right now, I pray that they would understand that there is a plague coming, especially if we don't belong to You. There is a plague coming and we could not withstand Your wrath. I pray that You would give them faith to surrender to You and give their lives to You and accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus freely offers, so that they would be too numbered as one of your people. And so Lord, as one of your children, sana nga po makita sa aming buhay yun, na namumuhay kami parang nga po mga anak ninyo. Totoo sa tawag. Totoo alinsunod sa sakripisyo. Totoo alinsunod sa iyo pong pagmamahal. Thank you, Lord, again for this time of study. We love you. We praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Salamat po. I'll see you all next week. God bless you.